You think we should have some kind of point?
Well, I was thinking that would help.
A point. To the show?
Yeah. We don't have a point?
No.
No point? What are we doing here?
It's a dull show. It's sort of an obtuse show.
Why are we here?
We're here because the Lord told us to be here.
What's our purpose?
To glorify the Lord.
Okay. See, so we have a point.
No, that's not a point. It's a purpose. It's completely different.
Oh. Sure?
Yep.
Huh. Okay.
We have a purpose in being here. We have no point to the show.
Oh.
Listen, everybody, to the Two Blind Squirrels, Brad and Faith, are podcasting around the world. Just sit back now, give it a whirl. Welcome, everybody, to the Two Blind Squirrels.
Quirky stories of the year.
Living by principle.
Legos.
Uh-oh. Two Blind Squirrels in the morning. Two Blind Squirrels at night. Two Blind Squirrels in the morning. That's right. Starting every day with chaos here at the Two Blind Squirrels. Don't you like a little chaos in your life? You should start each day with the chaotic Two Blind Squirrels. That's what you should do.
I find that funny that I'm part of a chaotic show.
You should pray. You should pray. Praise the Lord. Eat some Wheaties and listen to Two Blind Squirrels.
Listen.
What?
Speaking of a Wheatie.
Wheatie.
Yeah, or a cornflake.
You're my little Wheatie.
You know? Oh.
You're my little Wheatie. More like a toasted, like one of those frosted flakes.
Yeah. Hey.
So what's your Wheatie? What's your Wheatie story?
So anyway, there's this guy in Austin who paid $1,350 for a cornflake on eBay.
Why, was it shaped like President Lincoln's head?
No, it was shaped like the state of Illinois, which is President-elect Obama's state, right?
Seriously?
So, yeah. He says he's starting a collection of Americana items.
He paid $1,300.
He's adding it to his traveling museum. And instead of having them mail it to him.
His traveling museum.
Of Americana items.
Oh my, I want to see this so bad.
And listen to this. He said, don't mail it though. He'd send somebody to pick it up so that the flake wouldn't get damaged.
Oh, boy, do I have a deal for this puppy.
You do?
Oh, man, where's his phone number? I got some things he needs to buy. Listen, I got some goat poop in the back.
Yeah?
It's shaped just like Mount Rushmore. I ain't
really?
Kidding you.
You've been saving it?
The back of it. The back. There's two sides to Mount Rushmore. Not the side with the faces.
You think people don't want the back?
The other side.
I'm just saying,
it's shaped just like it. Hey, you know that? You know, I got some mashed potatoes in there that's shaped like a Devil's Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I got some of them.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants that either.
No, I got a booger that looks just like Barbara Bush.
Really?
I swear it's a spitting image.
You know what? That's just wrong.
Sorry.
It's just wrong. Barbara Bush should not be in any way related to a booger.
It even quivers a little bit, sort of like that, you know?
Oh, that's just me.
Look, I didn't come in here to tell you that. Did you hear about my doctor?
No.
He died.
Well, yeah.
He died. He was out digging a cistern.
Uh-huh.
And he fell over and had a heart attack.
Oh. Well, that's terrible.
It was terrible. He should have tended to the sick and left the well alone.
Oh!
That was horrible.
That was a bad one.
I can't believe that I brought that one in to stink
that
up the room.
That one was deep.
That has got to be the worst joke of 2008.
I think so.
That is by far.
But that joke's been around for a long time.
As an oldie.
Yeah, an oldie but a goodie, my dad says.
You know where I got that from?
Where'd you get that from?
White Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It was in one of the minstrel songs in White Christmas. And it was old then.
See, an oldie but a goodie. Well,
hey, what time?
At least an oldie.
What time is it? About dark 30?
Yeah.
I got to get going. I got lots to do. Hey, you know what?
What?
It's almost, it's New Year's and all that.
Right.
So, we got to get our New Year's resolutions all
New Year's resolutions. Every day is a new day. Every day is a day to make a decision.
Well, last year I did. I was going to jog.
You were going to jog?
Jog.
Is that different than jogging?
That's what I said, isn't it? I was going to jog every day.
You're going to jog? What is that? Is that like
you know, running?
Like putting puzzles together or something?
No, you know, like running.
Oh, you're going to run.
Yeah, I was going to jog.
You were going to run.
Yes, was it?
Okay.
But it didn't. I couldn't do it.
Why?
Eyes kept falling out of my glass.
You're not supposed to take your glass with you.
Oh.
Well, I got one of those bottles. You could put your drink in there. One of those sport bottles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that could work.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
Oh, well. Hey, yeah, I took one of them IQ tests. You know, start off first year, I thought, you know what? I'm gonna try to increase my IQ this year. You know, everybody's always making fun of me because my accent's making me sound dumb and all.
Yeah,
but I ain't.
You ain't okay.
I ain't at all anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I was gonna try to take an IQ test at the first of the year.
Maybe you should go back and take like an English language class.
Well, I thought maybe I'd grammar. Do that, you know. I thought I could do that, sure.
Yeah, that might help.
But I speak good English.
I'm not even going there.
Anyway, I took this IQ test to come back negative, and then I didn't know what I could do with that.
Mm. Came out negative.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Negative.
I think you should take some classes, and maybe you could up it to like.
I think I took classes.
One.
I took classes.
Classes?
Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, I took. This year I took bass fishing 101.
No. Classes that'll help your IQ. From a negative to a positive number.
I took a gourmet class on how to cook an alligator gar with pineapples.
Well, see, maybe your intellect is just a little, you know, it's just other things.
It's
you
a
know,
cultural.
Kind of like Brad.
It's a cultural thing, you know.
He's got all this.
Don't get me into this. I don't want in the middle of none of this. It's between you and him.
You know, because you always have all this useless information in your head about all kinds of things.
See, you're trying to drag me in the middle of it. I don't know.
He has, you know, this other information about gar and boiling things that goats and stuff.
Well, I already used up my joke to get out of here, so I'm just going to leave.
Oh, okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
That was a terrible joke. That was old in 1954 when White Christmas was released.
I love that movie.
Dave laughed at it, though. Not this time when he heard it, but when he originally... I told it to him on Twitter the other day.
Oh, okay. You did?
I did.
Did you know...
No, I didn't.
That there's this guy in Wisconsin who's
there was
been,
a guy in Wisconsin.
There is a guy in Wisconsin. Yeah. There is right now. Yep, right now.
Just one?
Well, no. There's more than one.
Oh, I did.
But there is a guy who has a Chevy pickup. You'll like this.
Uh-huh.
It's a Chevy truck.
I like Chevys. Uh-huh. I drive a Chevy.
It's been on the road for a million miles.
Good grief, where's he driving?
He calls his truck the old girl.
The old girl. How's this truck?
As a 91.
What? There is no way you can put a million miles on a truck.
It says he takes good care of it.
In
a lot of maintenance. Said over 300
years.
Oil changes.
Well, I would hope so.
18 years.
2001. It'd be 16 years.
17 years now.
Okay, 17. A million miles. Really?
That's what it said.
I'm about to do some math. I wonder how much you have to drive a day.
Well, you know why? Because what's he do? He uses it for his job distributing seafood and steaks.
Okay.
So, see, that's what he does for the way he drives.
I see.
See, yeah. And another thing about Wisconsin, this is interesting since I'm from Wisconsin and this
what's
doesn't
another,
really do good
hey,
for
Faith,
my state.
Hey, Faith, what's another thing about Wisconsin
there's this
that
guy,
we all want to
and
know?
And you know about...
Just kidding.
Shut up. There's this guy. Remember on that show we saw Super Size Me?
Yeah.
Where you ate McDonald's every day.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Remember that guy, that Don Gorski guy who was on there from Fond du Lac?
Yes.
Who ate a Big Mac every day?
Yes, ate a Big Mac
like,
every day. Did he die?
No.
Because that'd been a cool story.
No, but he's eaten. But here, there's this little thing about him. 23,000 Big Macs he's eaten. It started May 17th, 1972. He enjoys them every day. He used to get fries, but he quit doing that because they're not as good for him. Really? He eats two Big Macs a day.
He eats two Big Macs a day. That's it.
Yeah. He says sometimes people call him a freak, but he doesn't care. He says,
I've seen the
boy. I say you should just respect people as they are.
But I don't think he was a freak because he ate Burger King Whoppers every day.
He's got his sideburns like come all the way down to his neck.
He was a freak by his own account before he ever started doing this.
He was an interesting fellow. I just thought that was interesting. I thought I'd share.
Well, listen, we took a trip to the Galleria. You know, it's a funny.
It sounds like a disease.
It does. It sounds like
a scissor. Can I have a scissor, please?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you have it in your drawer over there. I need a scissor.
Why don't you need a scissor? We're in the middle of podcasting. Do you see the light on?
There's a coupon in here. I need to cut it out.
Oh, my goodness. She's collecting coupons during the show. We took a trip to the Galleria, which sounds to me like a cross between the sexually transmitted disease and the runs.
Yeah, but it's not. It's an upscale mall in Dallas.
Well, they're not just in Dallas. The Gallerias are everywhere,
aren't
they?
It's in Houston. There's one in Houston. Aren't
they in California?
I don't think so.
New York? And
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't know.
Dallas and Houston?
I don't know.
The only Gallerias exist in the entire world?
I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying. I don't think they're all over. What, are you going
to
look it up
I'm going to have to call you on that one. I don't believe
I said I don't know. You're not calling me on nothing.
Because I think you're wrong.
Wrong. You wrong.
I think you're definitely. Yeah. You know what it is? It's this. It's not me. It's this thing in my throat.
What's wrong with
you? It must be a Texas frog.
You think?
It must be.
You swallowed a Texas frog. A frog.
Oh, bro, goodness, will you please give me a break? There's one in St. Louis. Hello.
Oh, okay. I said I didn't know.
There's only three.
Yeah.
There's one in Houston, Dallas, and St. Louis, evidently.
There you go. See, there's not one in California. Oh, funny.
I guess we should go back to podcasting now.
You think?
Okay. So,
there's no more coupons.
We were going to talk about living by principle, and you said there was something in the paper about
it. No, first I had to tell you about Legos. They're 50.
You're talking to your mic, please.
How'd it get down there?
I don't know.
It dropped. Okay, 50 years old Legos are.
Not the ones I have.
No, but Legos. Here's your scissor. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
They were invented 50 years ago. Well, actually, they were invented longer ago than that, like in 1932 in Denmark.
Well, if they were invented in 1932,
they
would have been 50 years old in 1982.
But no. Listen, I'm in 1932, a Danish carpenter.
Please don't yell.
Named Ole Kirk Christensen.
Old Kirk Christensen.
No, Ole. Ole. Ole.
Ole. Sven and Ole, huh?
Sven and Ole, Danish. Okay. I'm a quarter Danish. Did you know that? Yeah.
I like
a Danish carpenter named Ole Kirk Christensen. I know, yummy. Switches. I didn't make those this year, and I put the butter out to do it because you need like 10 pounds of butter. And I stood there and looked. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't make that for myself. Whew. Anyway, he switched from crafting furniture to wooden toys.
Oh.
And so this is so interesting. To name his toy company, he coins the word Lego from the Danish words leg and got, meaning play well. Legoat. Goat. I would think it would be pronounced goat, since it was Legoat.
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 Legoat. Legoat to my Legoat.
Okay. So anyway.
Legoat to my Legoat.
Then in 1939, a British toy maker invents plastic blocks that lock together. And then in 1947, Mr. Christensen, the Dane, discovers the plastic blocks and refines their design. So that in 1958, the Lego design evolves into the state we know it today, with the stud and tube coupling system. And the ones they made from 1958 still fit the Legos that are made today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like when they don't change things.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them the same.
In 1961, the Lego wheel was invented.
Okay, that's all we really want to know about Legos.
That's it. That's all.
Okay.
And it's 50 years old. And get this. In the course of 50 years.
Yes.
They've sold 400 billion Legos.
Oh, 100 billion Legos. That's almost as many as Big Macs they've sold.
400 billion Legos. That's a lot of Legos,
man.
My nephew had half of those.
Half of them under my couch.
My nephew had so many. Oh, I got a picture. Hang on a minute.
You know, they can't see pictures. No, this is a podcast. This is a This is a podcast where there's no pictures.
Look.
Well, they can't see this.
Look at that.
It says worms.
We're selling worms.
You're selling worms. Did you actually sell any worms?
I don't remember that.
You know how most kids have a lemonade stand? I'm looking at five children with a table, a wood sign. They've got buckets.
Spray painted worms.
And they've got spray painted worms on it.
Okay, well, look it. Look it. Look.
So instead of a Lego. So instead of a Lego. They can't see the picture.
No, I want to show you.
Instead of a Lego, instead of a lemonade stand, you have a worm stand.
I didn't have. Look at me. See me in that picture?
Yes.
Do you see how I'm standing?
With your hand on your hip?
Uh huh. My mom sent me the picture and said, once a diva, always a diva.
Oh. I thought you were distancing from the diva.
I am, but I thought that was funny because I've been standing like that for my entire life.
But that doesn't mean you're a diva.
I know, but she was making fun of me because I told her that people said I was a diva, okay. And so she was picking on me. But I thought it was funny that I was standing there with a bunch of my two nephews, yep, and their cousins.
Okay.
And they were selling worms, and I was standing there going,
yep, with your
selling
hip.
Worms.
You ain't selling worms.
This is
you.
Stupid.
Okay, so you said you had a thing about Life with Principle.
I do.
Yes, out of the paper, you said.
Oh, no, I just saw there was this in the paper on Sunday.
Yes.
There was a thing that said, doing what's right, how to solve everyday problems, raising responsible kids.
It's called the responsibilityproject.com.
Yeah. I you know.
I saw that on the back because you read it.
Yeah. Front. So I just think it's interesting. It said, when do you tell on a friend who's cheating? What should you do if you find someone's resume on the copier?
But here's the thing is, do they tell you what to do?
Well, I guess if you go to Responsibility Project, I don't know.
So my problem is like it says, do what's right and how to solve everyday problems.
But it,
what are the principles that they're basing this on?
Exactly. Is it ever okay to spy on your kid's computer? Uh-huh.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah, all the time, because they're my kid.
It's never okay not to.
And it's not their computer. It's mine. I gave it to them to use.
It's never okay not to.
I'm of the Bill Cosby opinion of children.
It's all my stuff.
It's mine until you go buy your own stuff.
Even when you buy your own stuff, if you still live in my house, it's still my stuff.
It's still my stuff because you live in my house. And you're all brain damaged.
Okay.
I was talking to Christy and Ross today.
Yes.
And Ross and I were laughing about Bill Cosby, you know, and how he says the kids were brain damaged. Now he comes down the stairs.
Yes.
And he doesn't dry himself off, so his pajamas are like stuck to him.
The kid
does.
Yes.
And Bill Cosby says, my brain damaged child forgets to dry himself off, so his pajamas are stuck to him, you know. And Christy goes, yeah, Ross still does that.
Still does that. Did you forget to dry off?
He's like, it'll dry, so it's okay.
Well, you've touched a subject that's very close, dear and near to my heart, and that is living by principle.
Yes.
And, you know, to me, it's one of the most important subjects that we can broach and talk about. I mean, it's because I propose that we live in a society that for the majority of people, where the majority of people do not live by principle.
Right.
I think that they...
Well, they don't even know what principle is or nothing is absolute.
Well, what I hear from coming around me is that they live as a general rule that decisions should be made by what they feel is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean
they're good.
They don't try... Well... That doesn't mean they don't try to pull from some type of absolutes,
mm-hmm,
where they say, well, you know, I always say my daddy taught me that a man's supposed to be a man, you know, and that men don't cry. Well, okay, but why?
What that's exactly.
Or, you know, you should always do what you say. You should live by your word. You should never, you know, My word is iron.
Why?
Well, exactly. I mean, what's the principle behind that rule? And if you say, you make a rule that you actually, you know, I don't know, you say something and then the situation changes,
yeah,
where you need to, nobody on the earth would blame you for doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm never going to allow my kid to go, you know, I don't know, whatever. drive a car.
Well, it's like we've used with our grow kids thing. Never, ever, 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 ever. All good. Brush my hands of that. Run in church.
Yeah.
And then, exactly. You know, what if a person has a heart attack and the doctor, the doctor who happens to be there says, go run and get the, you know, and call 911. What are you going to do? You know, like Gary Ezra says, walk fast. You know, you're going to run.
Right.
But so if you don't teach your kids the why behind.
But that's, again, that's trying to force principle. Your children into living by rules. And so you're either going to live. So I just feel like a lot of people around me either A, live by their gut, what it feels right, or what they think is right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they'll try to pull in things to justify what they feel is right. Mm-hmm. Like they'll pull some scripture out of the out of their Bible and go, but doesn't the Bible say this? You know, I could hear that. You mean how many times I've heard this? Doesn't the Bible say da 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 da? Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. What's that got to do with the decision that you're making? Right. How is the decision you're making?
Well, yeah, but you can pen knife cut out anything you want.
Exactly. You know,
make it be what you want.
That's how all the cults have come about. The jawbone of an ass is the, you know, I mean, yeah, it doesn't mean you need to wear one around your neck. It just doesn't, you know. I'm just saying that, but that's, you know, so I feel like a lot of people around me, and I feel like that I even get sucked into doing that sometimes. It's like, this doesn't feel right, or whatever. But if you live by principle, you know, these principles were set up by God. He wrote them on a stone with his own finger, okay? And then they were verified, or they were confirmed by Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments themselves, the rules that fall, but those are principles to live by, all of them. But I'm talking about specifically the two groups there. One is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, that love is if you look at the Greek of that word, both, and if you look at the Hebrew in the Old Testament, both loves are the same. They are relational words. They require a love that is, it's a word that is a relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a works-based thing. It's a relationship-based thing. And that's important because when you get to the second principle, which is love thy neighbor as thyself, then you can say, okay, that implies that you love yourself. Well, when do you feel the most loved? I mean, ask your children, when do you feel loved? Do you feel loved when you get gifts, or when your daddy hugs you after you've fallen down, or
when he tells you he loves you?
What is it about in your life right now or what happens, or when do you feel the most loved? And a lot of times, you know, and they'll have different answers, but it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. It always comes back to that relationship.
Right.
And so if you're feeling loved, right, then you can love. You say, in those moments, do you feel like you're important or worthless? When you feel the most love from your father, from your mother, from your older siblings, whoever it is that loves on you, your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel loved, in those moments, do you feel worthless?
No.
Or precious?
Right.
You feel precious. So in other words, you have to have that relationship with the Lord, that relational love, before you can start loving your neighbor as yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor as yourself. Or it doesn't do any good.
Right, yeah, no point.
So as you have the horizontal, then you get the vertical.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that as we live by principle, we make these rules based on those principles. And if you look at the other 10 commandments, the other 8 commandments, they're based on those two principles.
Right.
They're either directly related between your relationship with the Lord, keeping the Sabbath, honoring the father and the mother, or they're horizontal. And they're don't covet your neighbor and don't lie and all that kind of stuff. But so, as you have those rules, then when two come in conflict, and this is the point where I see society falling apart.
Yeah, I was just
when two rules come in conflict, or two of your guiding principles even come into conflict,
we don't know what to do.
We don't know what to do.
People don't know what to do. They get lost.
Right. I'm not supposed to lie. I told my child this, and I know I know he's. you know, I told him, I promised him I'd do this, mm-hmm. but now this and this has happened.
Right. What am I going to do?
Am I going to keep my word, or am I going to let these other people suffer?
Right. And well, people don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do because they're living by rules instead of by principles. Mm-hmm. And if you follow the principles back, you can always go to your child and like, look, we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Mm-hmm. I promised you that we would do this, mm-hmm. but this has come up and this principle is overriding what I told you. It's not right to lie or not keep your word, mm-hmm. but you know, we have circumstances, and that's what Jesus tried to get across. That was his main message.
The Pharisees, yeah.
He's like, you, these rules that you're making are just burdens, and right. And anytime you make a rule, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not even a teacher. I'm a minister. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I know about, you know, this whole business of teaching and ministering and preaching is the minute you start making a rule, whether it's in your church or whether it's in your own personal life, you become a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
as soon as you tell somebody else they shouldn't do something,
yep.
you've done it in your heart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just the way the flesh works. Mm-hmm. And so that's what he was saying. He was calling these brood of vipers and hypocrites. They were burdening the people with these rules, and that wasn't the point of mm-hmm. all the law. Mm-hmm. The law was to provide principles to live by, to make life better and easier and mm-hmm. for people to get along. So, all right. So y'all have touched on a subject that has great...
A sore subject.
Yeah, well, it's not a sore subject. It's a subject that I have great passion about.
Well, yeah,
but it's the whole reason that I'm so excited about Grow Kids, because mm-hmm. it does teach parents principles for growing their children, for raising their children, and teaching their children principles, which has got to happen if we're going to have any longevity as a society.
Well,
at all.
The thing that I find interesting about that article that I found on the paper, and because it says inside a guide to doing what's right. And I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? And I look, but there's no
scripture in there.
No, I haven't gone to the website, so I mean, you know, I don't know. But you know, if you've got all these celebrities out there doing all these good things because it's the cool thing to do now, right? It's the cool thing to go help with Amnesty International. It's the cool thing to go help with.
These humanistic projects.
Yeah, these projects, because it makes you feel good.
Uh-huh.
You know, it makes you feel good to help other people. It makes you feel good to adopt babies from foreign countries. It makes you feel good to give tons of money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not getting anywhere.
Nope.
I mean, unless you've got Jesus as your savior and you're doing those things because he's commanded us to do those things. And, you know, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's the force, you know, the driving force. But if you're not doing it, you know, out of honor and devotion to him, then you're not going to earn your way into heaven.
Nope.
There's no point in doing it. And that's what it's so hard for me to say. I mean, I'm glad that the good things are being done for people. but you know what? It's just not getting them anywhere.
By the way, responsibilityproject.com
yeah.
is a commercial for Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
Oh, there you go. See? There you go.
Oh, okay. Fun.
There you have it.
Okay. Also, you might want to check out, just as this is just a note at the end of the show, if you listen this far, here's your bonus for putting up with my ranting and soapboxing. IamSecond.com.
Oh, .org?
Is it .org? IamSecond.org? Here, let me look. Oh. IamSecond. Yeah, it's .com.
Is it?
Yeah. And if you want to go there, you'll see some very cool testimonies, some very cool... it's a Flash site, so you have to go there on a computer with Flash. But very cool videos and... Jason Castro is on there. Mm-hmm. Joe Gibbs is on there from the Washington Redskins. So there's just some great testimony on there. Based a lot of some famous people and some people I never heard of. So check that out. IamSecond.com. Thanks for joining us today. If I can find my outro, I will get out of here somewhere. There it goes. I found it. Well,
Stephen Baldwin's on there.
Stephen Baldwin?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thanks for joining. You know, I didn't have to load the Flash Player on Apple.
Nope, I already had it.
I didn't have to load any plugins.
Nope,
I
didn't have to do a thing. Just played it.
Didn't have to get the latest version of Adobe something reader, PDF reader.
Gotta love that.
What's that about? Just everything just worked.
It just works.
Thank you once again. Okay. Anything else?
I guess that's it.
Thanks for joining us.
Bosco
Dias. I love Faith.
I love you too.
Oh, thank you. And Jesus loves you, so there you go.
Two blind squares, they're gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. "Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity." This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.